So if you really know your market audience, Facebook is great because you can target, obviously, based on their age, where they live, what things they like, if they're single, if they recently moved, if they have kids, if they don't have kids. So if you really understand who your customer is and like, oh yeah, all our customers love the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. Okay, great. And they're all guys 18 to 35. Well, those are two big buckets that we can target inside of Facebook, only people who are that age and only who like Tim Ferriss stuff. The catch is, the thing to keep in mind, is they're on Facebook to dick around and just waste time. They're not necessarily there searching for beard oil or whatever. So yet that your ad has to be a little more curiosity driven. And sometimes, you know, it's better if, like Tom said, you have a sales funnel, so the ads on Facebook can't send them right to go buy something because they don't know you. It's, you're better off, it's like, hey, get this free report or download this free thing. So you get their email, and then you can open up that relationship. And it's the same with YouTube. YouTube generally doesn't work super well direct to sales. It's more of providing them some information in the video or in your ad, and then getting them to opt in.
All right. So then that leads to the next question, which is, which one gives us the biggest bang for the buck? And obviously it does depend on my business, but let's say we've got a group of people with a multitude of various businesses. What's the bang for buck strategies with the three?
Well, they both... yeah, I mean, there's like, they all kind of work well together, even though I just said don't use them all, but there's synchronicity in like the best, if I have to answer for everybody, I would say the universal strategy that would work for all of you is to use what's called remarketing. And every one of those three platforms allows for remarketing, which means if somebody visits your website and they don't sign up or they don't purchase or don't take the action you want them to take, well, then next time they're on YouTube, because you're remarketing to them, they can still see your ad. Or if they're on Facebook and you're remarketing to them, they'll see your ad. And the reason why this is usually a good campaign is because you're targeting people who have already, you know, you're leveraging traffic that has already come to your website. So they're in some way, you know, familiar with you and maybe even possibly interested. And now they're seeing you all over the place, and it's generally pretty cheap traffic. So that would be a good starter campaign is remarketing across all three of those platforms. But if you want to talk a little bit about your business, I can kind of give you so remarketing would be good for everybody, and usually with my clients, like, we always set up remarketing right out the gate because it's one of the better campaigns. But when you're going to look for new traffic, that's where it's more business specific.
Okay, what do you use for tools to do the remarketing specifically?
I mean, I just work in the interfaces. I don't really use a lot of tools. I mean, with remarketing, you have to take a code from each of the platforms and put it on your website, and then you build the ads inside of each of those platforms individually. I'm sure maybe there's like tools to use, but I don't use any of them. Because it
awesome.
Just eliminates work. I just like keep the workflow limited.
Yeah, okay. So do you use any resources when you do the Facebook advertising, or is it just straight in the Facebook platform?
Yeah, I use just the Power Editor. Yeah, it's straight in the Facebook platform. But again, I'm not saying that's the best method. It's just it works for me, and I'm all about, like, the less things I have to log in, the less time that I'm spending somewhere else is more time I'm spending in the actual campaign. And I think when you're starting out, like, I'm assuming most of you guys here are starting out with paid advertising, it's like, again, it goes back to the, like, you're learning the platform and learning how to market and message. And now if you add in another tool, it's like now there's three things you're learning. And then you add another tool, it's like five things you're learning. So it's like get the first two down, learning the platform and learning marketing 101, and then use the tools to automate and scale once you have something that works.
Okay, so that's a great place to start. Are there any other tips for starting out?
What's your business?
Well, so my business is an online marketplace for snow clearing. So we have a website where homeowners and renters come to the webpage and tell the world that, hey, I want my driveway cleared today. and then service providers can come to the web page and bid on doing the work.
Okay. So you've got two audiences. You have the consumers and the service providers.
And my personal plan was to start with Facebook advertising because both of my groups are active Facebook participants.
Yeah. And is it geo-specific? Like, are you serving just an area, like right now, or?
Yeah, so we're going to start somewhat geo-specifically and grow as fast as we can. But right. Again, that's why Facebook, we can really narrow it out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just pick, where are you in Canada?
I am, yes.
Yeah, so just pick a province or an area that's most, you know, I guess closest to you, whatever, and just really hammer that with your Facebook ads to get the messaging right and understand the platform. And then, yeah, once you have something that's converting, then just scale it to the other provinces. But for you, it's like you want to think about, like, for the consumers, is it mostly women or is it mostly men? What's the age? Are there homeowners? I think there's an option in Facebook where you can select that they're a homeowner. So a homeowner versus, because you don't want people in apartments because they don't care because they get paid for that. So you may even want to get so geographically specific with postal codes. And if you know this postal code consists mostly of single family homes, that's where you run your ads, not the postal code where there's condos and stuff because they're not going to be interested. And then on the flip side, for the service providers, you can target by job title. So I don't know what they call themselves, but
students.
You could. What do they call themselves?
Students.
Student. Oh yeah. Oh, so the students. Oh, so this is like college money. College kids can come do this. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So then. So then you can target kids who are in university and pick particular universities and again set the ages. Maybe it's mostly male, so you target guys. So yeah, with Facebook for you, that's, I think you're on the right track doing that. That sounds like a good, the main thing is going to be your ad. And like for the students, it's like, you want to say, hey, you want to make some extra beer money or here's how to make some extra cash quick or whatever, like that's get them on. And then for the families, like you just have to, whatever the benefit is for them hiring, you know, going through you versus going out and do it themselves or hiring someone professional. You just want to make that very clear. And get them to opt in for something for free or download the app.
Sounds good. We got a question here from Mike. He's got a coaching business related to fitness and nutrition, and he's wondering if Facebook is a great place for him to use paid advertising as well. Yeah, he's just starting out as well, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to pick up coaching clients, it could be, it's going to be a little bit like you're not going to necessarily, I don't think you're going to get them to sign up for you with paid money right from the ad. So you want to, you, and for fitness, because it's so competitive, you have to be very specific. So if you're going after women and moms, like target that in Facebook and then offer them a free bikini critique or something. Where basically your job would be, if it's one-on-one training in person, the goal of the ad is to get them to meet you in person for free at your facility so that you can then sell them. You can demonstrate, you can deliver value, show them that you know what you're doing, and then sell them in person versus trying to use this little tiny ad to get their attention, get them interested, and sell them all in one little ad. That can be a lot of heavy lifting for Facebook.
So, guys, I got one more general question, and then, I mean, I'm sure everyone's got a list of specifics going on now because Ryan's got some great answers here. So, Ryan, last one from me for a bit. What are the essential parts or components of a paid advertising campaign, be it on Google AdWords, Facebook, YouTube, or right across all three?
Yeah, so it's follows direct response marketing, which is delivering, you want to think about delivering the right message to the right person at the right time. And time doesn't necessarily mean 5 o'clock p.m. It could mean time in their life and time in the buying funnel. Someone who's just starting to think about buying a car is at a different time versus someone who knows they want a Lexus and they're looking for a dealer, right? So the same message is not going to work for both of those people. Just like for Mike, for fitness, someone who is like, you know, Christmas just is over and she ate all the stuff, or they ate all the stuff and they feel fat, you know, and they're starting to think about, hey, maybe this year is going to be the year for me, versus somebody who just came back from a high school reunion and everyone looked great except for them and they feel like crap and they're like, they are ready to go. But you know, they just need to, they just needed someone to guide them. So it's different. Yeah. So the right message to the right person at the right time, that those are the three things that you, that are universal across all those platforms.
Right on.
Awesome. Zach Bob, did you have any questions, man?
Yeah, I was on mute. I'm sorry. I have a question. It's kind of, I think everybody will kind of benefit from. If you're running ads on Facebook, how large should you recommend, like, for the target audience for your first ad, like your very first ad that you're testing it out, how large would you recommend your target audience to be?
Yeah, good question. Generally, the ads you want to be, like, it gives you that gauge, you know, and you want it to be more specific or narrow. Like, I try, if you're in Power Editor, I try to keep it under 50,000. Like 50,000 is a lot. So the more narrow you are, the better. I mean, 1,000 is somewhat sometimes too small. But when you're in the ad manager, it will show you the gauge, and you want to try and keep it in the green and even specific. But if it's too broad, you need to add a couple layers of targeting to narrow it down. So yeah, just think the narrower is better.
And what would be the reason for that? Just curious.
Because it's going to get you more specific to the particular people who are interested in your product. Like, if it's too broad, the problem with broad advertising is, like, oh, more people are going to see my stuff. Yeah, but a lot of them are not really qualified, so they're not going to engage with the ad. They may exit, you know, hit X on it or not like it, and so that's going to reduce your quality score. Versus if you're just targeting specific, if you get real narrow and it's just on the specific people you know would be interested in your message, they're going to have better engagement with your ad. So, like, one of my ads for my fitness channel I ran on Facebook that did really well for a long time was an ad I was targeting military, police, and first responders. And that was those, and then I had an age range of stuff, and so it was very specific. And the ad said, attention, military, firefighters, and first responders, or something like that. You know, if you're struggling to work out, da-da-da, and that got, like, tons of likes and tons of shares and did really well, and it was very cheap for me because it was very, very specific versus, attention, guys who want to get in shape, any guy, every guy, come one, come all. It's just like, man, that kind of stuff just falls flat nowadays. So even though the product that I was offering could be the same, because I'd made a different ad for each cluster of, you know, for the firefighter guys, and then a different ad for maybe engineers and whatever, like, it speaks a little bit more of their language.
All right, and when you were talking about remarketing earlier, are you talking about, like, the Facebook, like, the retargeting pixel?
Yes, yeah, Facebook retargeting pixel, and then AdWords has a retargeting pixel that's shared with YouTube. So you install both of those codes. That should be on your site, as well as Google Analytics. You want that on your site. And that way, anyone who's visited your site already, if you've got organic rankings or somebody's sharing your link or something, you can go ahead and start remarketing to them because they've already expressed, you know, some level of interest in your product or service.
Now, is there a difference between the retargeting pixel and the conversion pixel from Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, I think now Facebook, it's all one pixel. So Facebook, it's like you take a code, it's just one snippet of code, you put it on your site, and then inside of Facebook, you set up conversions and say, hey, if someone visits this particular page, count it as a conversion. And then, hey, anyone who visits any page on my website, create a remarketing bucket from this. Or anyone who visits my checkout page, create a special remarketing bucket for that. Because, you know, if you own an e-commerce store, someone who visits a checkout page but doesn't purchase, they've had expressed greater interest in your product versus someone who just perused around on the general pages. But yeah, it's just that one code from Facebook that you paste all over your website, and then inside the Facebook machine, you can set up conversion, you know, what your conversion pixels are and what your remarketing audiences are.
Now, do you just paste it on the home page like before, or do you paste it on several pages?
No, you want it on every single, it goes on every single page on your website. Yeah, Facebook code on every page. And the Google Analytics code, which doubles as remarketing, also goes on every single page. you want that. So like if you have a WordPress site or something, it's very simple. You just go, you know, go to WordPress and add plugin, you know, analytics plugin or Facebook conversion code plugin, and it'll be like a little header code that you paste at one spot, and it will put it all over your site for you. So it's not like you have to manually change each page. Keep it very simple for you.
Now, when you run your Facebook ads, are you using just what like the optimized CPM, or are you setting your own price?
Yeah, usually I do optimize. Yeah, I do like optimize for conversion. So I'll have a conversion pixel, and I will let Facebook do, because so far I've seen Facebook does a pretty decent job when I say just find people that are most likely to convert. So I let them do the optimized stuff. But I haven't, it's been a while since I've tested just manual bids, so maybe it's better now. But right now I just let Facebook run with it.
Do you play with the desktop sidebar at all, or do you just go strictly mobile?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So when Facebook ads, I just do newsfeed, newsfeed mobile and newsfeed desktop, and I turn off right sidebar and I turn off Instagram. Although I've seen some people have good results with Instagram, I just haven't. I would think that ad may be a little bit different, so I want to do that in its own ad set. But when I'm starting out, I just do the newsfeed ads.
Can you tell us a little bit about Instagram and the advertising options through Facebook?
Well, I mean, it's pretty similar as far as it's just inside of it's inside of Facebook. And when you set up the ad set, you say in there, yes, target Instagram, or no, don't target Instagram. So they'll put your ad. So I think that you would want to create a separate ad for Instagram because it's a little more different. People on there with pictures. It's just a slightly, I mean, still social media, but it's a slightly different platform, obviously, than Facebook. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't used it a lot, so I don't have a lot, unfortunately, to...
Ryan, can you tell us a little bit about some of the products that have had the most success in terms of paid advertising? Because I feel like maybe not everything is geared, could potentially be geared towards paid advertising, but maybe I'm just mistaken. So I'm curious, like, what are there certain types of products or certain types of pitches that work really well for paid advertising?
I mean, most stuff does. It's just, it depends on what platform, you know, because something that can work on AdWords, like we've had clients where they're just hell-bent on they want to have AdWords ads, and I'm just like, that's not a good idea for you. Just stay on Facebook, but, you know, they want to do it, so we do it, and it just falls flat on its face. So it goes back to, you know, right message to the right person at the right time, and then are you targeting a person, which means you can run it on Facebook, or are you targeting a problem, which means you generally go with AdWords. The only thing I've seen, you know, it's just the longer I've been doing this is, like, aside from e-commerce, so you take e-commerce out of the equation, because somebody types in beard oil on AdWords, well, they're looking to buy beard oil. It's different, but harder, like, direct-to-sale can be a little bit harder, especially with Facebook, like, you know, never heard of you, here's my widget, or here's my training lesson, or whatever. That can be hard. So it's really important you come up, this is in the message component, you come up with offers that get people to take the first step with you. So maybe it's a free critique. If you're a service-based business, like Mike, it's like all about getting, you know, offering like a free assessment or free critique, free quote, something that's interesting to them that they don't have to pay for, but they'll give you their email address or their phone number, and you can follow up with them from there.
Awesome. Adam, did you have questions, or did you already get those answered?
No, it's our chat box here. Let me see. Just starting out, relating to promoting posts. Well, yeah, so Adam's asking about what would your considerations be in relation to promoting a post.
You got it.
Yeah, so I guess it as long as the post, it depends what you're trying to do. If you're just trying to just get some exposure, I guess maybe. But at your guys' level, it's like, no, every advertisement you run should have a job to do. So if you're promoting a post, that post should be have a link to your website that's an opt-in, or, you know, going back to the, you know, getting the email address. Otherwise, if you're just promoting a post just to, like, promote it, I mean, maybe for $5 or whatever, but it's like, what's the point? If it's just a little article in the post and it doesn't take them somewhere to your website and get them into your ecosystem, I wouldn't do that. I would just promote a post. If it's a post that says, hey, download our free 7 steps to building bigger muscles guide or whatever, you know, something that gets them to opt in.
Awesome, appreciate it. The second question is along the lines of identifying conversions. You had mentioned that when we connect all of our web pages to the Facebook, that maybe with putting the code just on your thank you emails, once they subscribe, to get a clear identification of subscribers, or does that
you don't need the code in a thank you email. Like, what you want is, so you have the code on every page on your website, and then if they, the way you count the conversion is, if they, once they opt in, once they give you their email address and their name, you take them to a, you automatically reload them to a new page that says thank you, you know, thank you lead magnet X, you know, whatever it is, and that's where you then tell Facebook, hey Facebook, anytime your code fires on the thank you lead magnet X page, count that as a conversion, because that's telling you, the only way they can get to that page is if they gave you their email address, so you know that they converted. And same thing with the e-commerce store, you count the order receipt page or thank you page, because the only way they can get to that page is if they made a purchase. So that's your gotcha. that would be your conversion.
Appreciate it. Other than paid ads on Facebook, what are your best tips to increasing our likes on our pages?
What is your company?
So right now I'm doing coaching and consulting. Coaching focused on helping people overcome their personal challenges and achieving their goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, to be honest, I don't really care about likes, you know, like, I don't, it's like, I can't, if I walk up to my SunTrust and I'm like, hey, I got 10,000 likes here, I'd like to deposit these, please, they're just going to look at me like I'm crazy, you know, like, it's like, that it doesn't do anything. So I wouldn't worry about the likes so much. I mean, there's some social proof element to it, but I would be focusing on the conversions and the emails, especially with coaching, because that's a very intimate and personal thing. And especially for people to admit to themselves that, as I'm sure you've seen, oh, I have a problem. Like, so that's where it's like you want to get them on your email list and have a good email sequence that's like walking them through your belief system and how you're going to change theirs and stuff. So I would be focused, you know, I would take the energy that you were going to invest in likes and I would reinvest it in your email sequence instead.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, Ryan, have you ever done any ads to crowdfunding campaigns in particular?
No. Yeah, I have not done any of those. So I would think Facebook would be pretty good for that. As long as you've already got some traction on your crowdfunding and you know exactly who, like, this is where it's like you got to know who your crowdfunders are. Like, you know, what are the things they like, what books, what interests, whatever, so you can target them. I think that would be definitely a good strategy.
Awesome. What John's question was, would loading it on order confirmation work? Was that in relation to the tracking? I'm guessing that was answered.
Yeah, that's the order confirmation. Yeah, that's the order confirmation thank you page. Yep, so that would be tell Facebook anytime somebody visits the order confirmation page, count that as a conversion.
How much money do you usually start with when you first start running ads? Like for a particular ad or a particular campaign?
Yeah, usually I'll start actually, like, especially with Facebook. With Facebook and YouTube, I'll start pretty low, like $10 or $20 a day just for the first day or two, because I'm going to use that real quick to see, like, for Facebook, is my relevance score of the ad, is it high or is it low? Like, how's it doing? Because I don't want to put it at $100 and I had a setting wrong or something, and it's like, there, that money is gone. So it's like I throttle it pretty low for the first day or two, and then as long as I see it's looking okay, then I'll open up the budget. But I usually start at, $10, $20 a day for the first 2 days, and then open it up once I know everything's working.
And when you say open it up, what does that look like? Like up to what degree, or is it like infinite, or are there diminishing returns?
Yeah, it depends on the client, or for, you know, or for me, for what I'm trying to do with the campaign. So it could be anywhere from then 50 to 100 to 500 bucks a day. If we're running like a short promotion, I like 2 day. You know, if it's a week promotion for a webinar or something, I like to have 2 days before the promotion to get the ads run at 20 bucks a day, just to kind of figure out which message has the best shot. Then pick that ad and then open the budget for those next 7 days and then turn everything off.
Gotcha. And when you, so the stuff you've done for the Spartan stuff you've done with the fitness, are you selling an info product, or what are your goals on that on YouTube?
Yeah, you know, for the last year or so I have sold a training program and I still sell it, but I'm making a shift. You know, I've been talking here with Antonio and I'm going to be, for that business, focusing more just on content and just really building up my audience, because I've got some traction now, but it's losing a little bit of steam. So, but yeah, in the past, it was all the paid traffic was like to get people to my YouTube channel, to then get them on my email list, to then, you know, not only give them the opportunity to purchase, but also just build, you know, relationship equity with them and send them entertaining stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't have a website at the time, did you, or you had something pretty marginal?
Yeah, I mean, and even still, my website, I mean, it looks a little bit nicer now, but I don't really have much content. It's just a fill, you know, it's got some sales pages and opt-in page and a little bit about me, but I don't have, not like, you know, Antonio, the content machine horse over here, who's got a million articles and all that.
talk about that for a second, because I'm curious. I think a lot of people think or feel under pressure to create a blog and to create content. And it sounds like for the first while, like while you might be shifting to that strategy now, I'd be curious why you want to do that. But also I'm curious as to, you know, how you built your platform in the beginning without that kind of content focus.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been content focused. It's just my platform was YouTube and I just kept it on YouTube. And that's the thing, you don't really need a big website. I mean, you just need a couple pages. And I'm finding, and I think, you know, with a lot of people on the internet nowadays, it's like information overload. So people don't want to come to your site and have 5,000,000 things to read. Like they want it simple. Like just look at Apple, like simple and clean and intuitive. And it's actually a lot harder to like whittle your message down, whether it's for one particular blog or just the message of your site. It's very hard to whittle it down to like three core things that people can really grasp. So you don't need to have, you know, tons of content and like you're better off having one very succinct, clear article versus 10 like okay articles just because, oh, I need content. You know, it's like, no, it's better to have that one really good one that people walk away from with an aha, like, oh, I learned something. You know, and they learned something because A, they didn't see your article or your content and be intimidated because it was forever long, and B, it was short, it's just very simplified and clear, so they got the message.
Awesome.
So you don't think that you have to have some giant website to get your business going. I mean, you want to have something there, a little bit about you, and just a little bit about what they can expect. But I still really think email. I mean, you think about Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Like they all ask you for one thing, right? To sign up, you still got to have an email address. So email is still important, and you get that email, and as long as you learn how to write emails that entertain people and they get value out of it, like that's their sacred space when they're in their email inbox, and so you always get a chance to, you know, to build a relationship and sell to them if you have that.
Yeah, so a couple questions about that, and then actually Mayaka has a good one that's pretty appropriate, but when you're, so in your case, so I love that idea too of like just kind of streamlining things. And with paid advertising, you're essentially forced to streamline,
right?
Because you have to find an effective way to make money from your spend. Otherwise,
yeah, it hurts because you know you're putting the money in. Like that's the danger. It's not that one's right or wrong, but it's very easy to throw away time when you're, you know, in articles and putting all these articles up. because it's just your time, you know. But when all of a sudden, when you start spending money, it's like, hey, wait a minute. Like, I, you know, because you can throw articles up and not really, you're not going to be as judicious about, well, how much of a return on my time am I getting from my traffic? But if you're spending money, you better believe you're going to be like, hey, is this money getting me some results or not? So it forces you, you know, that's why it's always good for everyone to do a little bit of paid traffic, because it forces you to pay attention and see, is it working? What's not working? How can I fix it? Because it hurts a little bit.
So, and on that note, so like, I'm really curious about your setup for the fitness thing in particular. And you were doing YouTube ads, you were doing them to the, your channel, but ultimately to get the email address. Right. Then did you send people through an autoresponder? And tell us a little bit about talk through the funnel, because I think that's important.
Yeah, I mean, I just rebuilt it, so they opt in for what I call, for something called the Spartan Strength Ladder, which is like, I teach guys the correct way to increase your strength when you're training, so that you build more muscle. And it's right now, I use a Fusionsoft, so they go into my email sequence, they get some emails to say, hey, go watch video one, go watch video two, go watch video three. And then I have some emails where it's like, called indoctrination, where I just teach them my philosophy, like, hey, this is like, you know, this isn't bodybuilding, we're not here to spend 5 hours in the gym and look at ourselves in the mirror, that's stupid, like, this is just for guys who want to be strong and live the life of their dream. So it's kind of, that's where I'm sharing some of my, yeah, just my philosophy, so people kind of open up to that. And that's a good, you know, it's a good spot for you when people first come on your email list. Like, yes, give them whatever it is you opt in, but also share some stories about yourself, like a journey, you know, the guy's talking about coaching, like, you know, share something where he struggled and then he came out and what he learned. And when you do that with your audience, it bonds them a little bit more in your email sequences. But that's what I do. I run them through like the 7 days of that when they first come in, and then they go into a campaign where they get like, it's like 21 days. It's like, because I used to write an email every day. I did that for a while. So I have like a whole slew of emails. So I took the best of, like the ones that got the most responses and the most sales and the most people who email and be like, you're stupid, I hate you, da da da, because you want emails that like make people a little like riled up, right? So I run, after they go through my first sequence, if they don't buy anything, then they go into that best of campaign and they get like for the next month like an email every day.
And so, honestly, like, to be clear on that, if I guess your policy then is, if they, you know, if they don't respond, they don't buy through that first portion of that campaign, you want to just keep sharing stuff with them until they do buy something, right? Is that kind of
until they buy or they get off, or they're like, this guy's crazy, get me out of here, because we just don't see them die, you know? Like, so I don't want them taking up a spot that somebody who was interested in, you know. So just run them through that, you know, and all of it, and the emails aren't just like, no one will stay subscribed if you're sending emails. It's like, buy my stuff. Like, all my emails are very entertaining, and I also teach like tips and stuff, so they're getting value from it. They get a whole month of that, and then they're, you know, on my list, and I still send out broadcasts or email updates, like, here's a new video, here's an interview I did with Antonio, you know, that kind of stuff.
Awesome. So now Mike's question was, for a blogger, how many articles would you want to have on a blog page that is related to fitness and nutrition? And so I guess maybe a better way to rephrase that is not for a blogger, but for a fitness and nutrition focused website, where Mike, if I don't know if your audio is working and you can describe what you do a little bit, but if it's not working, I can do my best. I think you're muted. Or your mic isn't working. So Mike, if you can get it to fix, that's cool. But so Mike does personal training, and he does nutrition plans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so a combination of fitness and nutrition. And I know the big thing is looking to do like kind of online personal training or online nutrition. And so he has a website that's pretty bare right now, but I'm wondering if that's necessarily a problem for him. And I guess his question is, you know, how much content should he put on that, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, yeah, like, for that, like, that's where it's, like, I think nowadays, you know, depending on the niche, so fitness is very competitive. It's, like, writing articles and stuff and waiting around for those to get ranked. I just think that's, like, message, you know, you're taking a message in a bottle and throwing it in an ocean. I think you'd be better off, like, You know, maybe for like focusing on one specific part that gets people in. So you want the tip of the spear. So like maybe it's the nutrition angle, and we'll just say, I don't know if who he caters to, but let's just say like women. So nutrition for women. So come up with. I'd be looking at really coming up with some useful lead magnets that they, because the goal is to get them to consume some of your information and also be like, oh wow, this was like really helpful. And so if it's a bare bones website, it's not a lot of traffic, you're gonna have to go out and get in front of people. So use some paid traffic if you want to do it fast. So then we do Facebook, get in front of the women, have the offer for the lead magnet of the 7 best recipes, or maybe it's, and even 7 bet, like with fitness is competitive, so you got to be real on point. So it's got to be like 7 recipes for busy moms, you know, like that level of depth is required. Versus if you're in like the snow blowing, the snowing stuff, like that's not going to require as many layers deep. So he takes the article, so we'll take the article time and invest it in really coming up with that good lead magnet, and then invest it also in a good email sequence. And then those emails can double as your articles. You know, if you want to put some articles on your site, have them on there. But I think the site, your site can be bare bones as long as it has one page that talks about you, a page about whatever it is you offer, and that's very simple and very clear for people to get. Like, so Mike's would be like, this is where women can transform and empower themselves through food or whatever. Like, and then break it. I always found it's good to try and break it down into 3 steps and make whatever you do. So Mike's mostly men. Okay, so just try to break it down into 3 steps. And that's going to force you to like, you know, that's just, it's hard work. So take that energy. Instead of 10 articles, break it into 3 steps, have a really good lead magnet, and have like 5 really good emails. And then you pay to run traffic through all that, and you start, because that's the other thing. You don't want to do 6 months of work building all these articles and building all these things out just to find out that nobody cares or nobody likes it. You want to be able to be more agile and adaptive. So instead of 6 months of articles and hoping stuff happens, you do 1 month of creating a lead magnet and 5 emails, and you pay $100 or $200, and you people run through it, and then you see, okay, nobody signed up, but everybody read all the emails. So it's like, I know I have a problem maybe on my offer page, or maybe I just need a new offer. Like you get to start to pinpoint where the constraint is, and focus your resources on that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's gold. Mike, do you have any other questions for that in particular? Or Zach, hey, Bob, you go ahead.
How often do you send an email to your email list?
I mean, right now, just with the holidays and stuff, I've been a little slack, but there's been a while where I would send an email every day. And I tell them that up front. It's not a surprise. I say, you know, hey, this is Sparta. You know, so my channel is called Sparta Strength. So the Spartan kind of persona. So I'm like, hey, like, if you can't handle an email a day, like, this isn't the place for you, you know. So they know they're going to get an email a day, and their job is to read it, and my job is to make it so that it's readable, and that when they finish reading it, they're like, oh, good, I'm going to read the next one. So when I first started out, like, they sucked, but I've gotten a lot better, and I occasionally get guys be like, hey, like, where's my email? Why haven't I gotten an email today?
That's awesome. All right,
and if now...
Oh, go ahead, Zach, Bob.
For someone, we'll say I have a friend that has neglected their email list for a while, and if mm-hmm. they're about to jump back into it, what would be kind of the best route to kind of jump back into it?
Yeah, with that, so it's like you got a cold list, and so it's like people forget who you are. So you want to ease back in and just say, like, hey, I've been out doing XYZ, maybe someone's been learning a new skill set or whatever, just share a story about kind of why you've been MIA, and then let them know, but in these next few days, I'm going to share 5 new tips that I've discovered from this story with you about my product. And then each, like, those first couple emails need to be probably don't even have a pitch in there. It's just about delivering value. You always want to have a click, so maybe click them to a YouTube video that supplements the lesson you're teaching or whatever. But yeah, you want to kind of warm them up, so it's just providing them with some good information, but not overloading them, but just providing them some good value and letting them know, hey, I was away because of X, Y, and Z, but I've learned these two things, and I'm going to share them with you, and I've got some more exciting stuff coming up. So that usually will help. And you'll get some people unsubscribe, and that's okay, but everyone else will stay on and be like, oh, yeah, that guy's pretty cool. So.
Mike Mills asks, what do you use for automation emails? Are you asking about the software, Mike? I assume so.
Yeah, I use Infusionsoft, which if you're just starting out, like, it's probably not the best. Like, Infusionsoft is a little more, you know, more of an investment. So I would look at, you know, AWeber is a good one. ConvertKit, I think, is kind of newer and up and coming. There's probably a couple others, but I use Infusionsoft for this, which is more mid-tier as far as pricing and complexity goes. But you don't need something that complex. You just, you know, start off with a basic sequence. So AWeber is a good place to look at, and then just Google like AWeber alternatives. I'm sure you'll find some others too.
Mm-hmm. And then Mike asked, are you self-taught or did you learn from someone on how to effectively send emails to your audience?
Yeah, I mean, so I did a lot of email studying. So I've read stuff from Perry Marshall, Ben Settle, and Matt Fury. Those are kind of the three guys that I've really read a lot of their stuff on for email writing because it resonated with me. I know Ryan Dice, that they have some email stuff, but those three were the ones that resonated more with me.
Awesome. Cool, guys. Does anybody else have any questions about any of this stuff?
I have one more. If you're running Facebook ads, is there a way you can target, like, same niche Facebook pages, like other Facebook pages that are kind of in your niche? Like their fans, target their fans?
Well, I don't know if you can target their fans directly, but you can target, like, when you go into interest, you can type in the name of the page. And it will Facebook will say, okay, people who like this page or something similar. So I guess it's still kind of broad, but yeah, you can, you know, do that all the time. Like, you know, target gurus of the particular industry. So people who like guru's page, we know they're interested in whatever it is the guru teaches about. But some, for whatever reason, some Facebook pages are just not available. Like, for example, Lead Pages, which is a landing page software. I have a buddy who has a product that people who use that would be interested in his product, but Lead Pages, like, we can't target their Facebook page. I don't really know why, how that all that.
I use Lead Pages. What is that product?
Are you asking Ryan that?
Yeah.
Well, what's the product you, Ryan, what was the product you were selling to Lead Pages people? Is he muted? Can you hear us, Ryan? I don't think we can hear you now.
Yeah, oh, I couldn't hear anything.
Can you hear us now, Ryan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, now I can.
Okay, Bob was wondering, what is that product you were selling to Lead Pages people?
Oh, it was my buddy, AW Pro Tools. And Deadline Funnel. So it's like email automation software. Yeah.
Cool. Any other questions, guys? Adam? Jen? Mike? Who else we got on that's not on the video right now? James? You're on the video. Mike Moreno? Nick? John's on the cell. Any other questions? John, you're doing the... I don't know if you can talk at all, but I'd be curious if you have any questions about paid advertising to your company, your business.
Well, I was listening for a while. I was I'm down on vacation right now, so I've been a little in and out. But we just started right now with our marketing campaign, and I think we're falling under the loop of using multiple different avenues rather than targeting one. And I'm trying to figure out which one would be best for ours. Suit and men's apparel, so it's a little bit interesting trying to figure out which avenue out of the ones that we have right now, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and I think that's about it right now. We hadn't touched YouTube would be best for that kind of market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think Facebook and Instagram would lend itself. That would probably be the first one I'd try for you guys. That sounds like you're on the right trail there.
Awesome.
Would you find it better? Because I have somebody who has a lot of well, some experience in all of these markets, it's better to go out and see which one actually has a return if you have experience in each one of these, and then stick to one you're getting returns from, or focus on one, and then if it's not working, switch to the next.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it either way, like do a little bit of budget in each, and then whatever one starts off out of the gate as a winner, that gets all the budget. If you have somebody at the helm who knows everything, knows how to operate the platforms, that's probably what I would do. If you're just trying to figure it out, then yeah, you pick one, see if you get some traction, pause it if you don't, and try on a separate platform.
And then to follow on the question I had earlier on, pixel placed on the order page, if it takes a while for a customer to get from Facebook to, let's say, an order page, will Facebook think it's not getting conversion and then shut down its marketing for it, or will it keep doing it until it gets conversions?
Well, it tracks, it gives you a 30-day window. So somebody could click on a Facebook ad and not buy until 7 days later, and Facebook will still count it. So it doesn't have to happen right away.
Does the amount of clicks that it requires to get to that end page result in the price that Facebook's going to charge you for said pixel, is it just based on volume?
Facebook's going to charge you based on your targeting. Usually the more narrow you are, the lower the price, and also what's called your relevance score, meaning how many people are clicking on your ad, liking your ad. You can see it's from 1 to 10, 10 being the best. That will have an impact on your price as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Anybody else have any questions about paid advertising or anything else that that Ryan's gone over? You're muted, Zach.
All right. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I have another question. I'm getting into YouTube video. I'm trying to grow my YouTube audience. Just can you give me just what would be a good strategy to use?
For
using Facebook to like kind of get more subscribers for YouTube.
For YouTube. Yeah. So you just need to know who your best subscribers are as far as their demographics, and run your video as a YouTube video inside your Facebook page, and then promote that. And have a link to your channel in that post so they are more likely to click. That's what I'm doing right now for my country dance channel.
Country dance channel?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
And just a quick question, are you growing the mohawk out and the beard out? Is this a marketing for Sparta?
Yeah, I guess it helps with Sparta. I don't quite have a mohawk, I guess. It's more of just, I don't even know, hair on the top of my head. More of a Viking, I guess, kind of like a Viking look, if you will.
Good stuff. Awesome. Well, Antonio, I think I don't see any more. Oh, Jen. What's that question mean, Jen? But based on Facebook's algorithm, don't they?
I know what she's asking. Yeah. Okay. I don't think if it's organic, they will. But with paid, I don't think they have a choice. They're still going to show it. So, creating that post, the whole purpose behind it is to use it as a paid ad. But organically, yeah, maybe it reduced reach. But I feel like they've cut down how much organic they share. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Ryan, I had a question. Are you using the Watch More button? I have an audio problem. So did you use the Watch More button whenever you're promoting videos?
What did I put in there? I don't think I did, because I think when you put the button in there, it cut off the text on the mobile ad. Like, it reduces the size of it, the headline. So I don't think I put any call to action on there. But that's just kind of how I run it.
So you don't use the buttons at all?
Because I do a lot of mobile ads, so.
So did you just put like a link to your YouTube page?
Yeah.
On there, in the copy.
Yeah, in the copy. Yep, exactly.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Okay, really quick, I want to announce, you know, for module 3, I wanted to, yep. I see we've got both of them out here. So I've got Nick, you know, you did a great job, went back, looked a lot of your answers, and it was really, actually it was close. I'm going to give it, J-Bear also, I'm going to give her some love. So she did a great job on answering module 3. Let me see, module 4, I, you know, Nick, you got to get up to speed on that, but John Claymore, you're over there. So, you know, we've been, watching you guys just knock through stuff, you know, been getting some great answers and some great feedback. And, you know, J-Bear, actually, you've done a really good detail. I really liked your avatar answers. And, so a lot of good detail on that. Really appreciate it. So, we've got, let me see. I think it's HJB, man. You are just, I think you're pretty much done with the entire module 7. So congratulations on being ahead of everybody. But we've still got, I'll announce module 5, 6, and 7. You know, module 5 is where we should be now. And that's a psychology and human behavior over in our tasks and tests over at High Speed Elite. And then, you know, so this Christmas break, try to take some time to catch up to speed. But next week, I know we've got John Dumas in the house, and he'll be talking about, well, whatever he talks about, podcasting, all that fun audio stuff. And hopefully by that time, everyone's got their module 5, psychology and human behavior. Really make sure to go back. Right now, I just see that it looks like HJB and Dave Berlin have been able to make through it. So Zach, Bob, you got to get up to speed on that. Stephanie, and yeah. So go ahead and jump in there and knock through it. That's it. Tom, back to you.
All right, guys. Well, great call, Ryan. Always appreciate the insights, man. Basically, yeah. Need you on here every 6 months or so to give a refresher because it's always really, really good stuff.
Yeah, well, thanks for the service, guys. Appreciate your service.
Awesome. Appreciate it. So, guys, hey, wrapping up the call now. So go enjoy. What is this? Yeah, Christmas is this week, isn't it? So go enjoy that. I know I lost track of time, so have a great week, and we'll catch you guys next Monday, and then I'll also be doing some one-on-one calls with some of you. If you want to hop on a call Wednesday, I have some free time for any of you guys. Just let me know.
We'll schedule it in. There were some people that owed me some customer avatar information, so make sure to send that to me, and I'm not going to call out names, but and if you need, I'll have a few spots open this Wednesday. So if anyone needs to talk with me, just send me a message. My calendar won't be open, but I'll have my assistant pencil you in. All right?
Awesome. All right, guys. We'll take care.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Merry Christmas. All right. And end meeting for all.